Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Just tuned in to the voice of the American Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and I want to thank all of you for being with us. And it's been a crazy last couple of weeks, and so thank you for your patience, and also just the amazing feedback that we've gotten from all of you out there. This is episode 14-27. And there's a little experience that I had in the this last week. The comms up to video is done. It's complete, and it has been released to the Summer of Survival, the online seminar series for preparedness. And that is going to air on Tuesday evening. We'll be talking more about that. But I didn't really get a chance to prepare for this show. There's some things that I want to talk about. But I wanted to produce the part two from the God and Country celebration. We did part one a couple weeks ago. And then last week, just in the spirit of being there, even though we said, hey, we're not going to do a show, we're not going to broadcast, because we thought we weren't going to. But we just really, really want to make sure that we maintain a consistent presence, you know, every Sunday evening. So we aired Pastor Shahram Haidian's sermon, which was just amazing. That was uploaded last week. You can go over to Podbean, radiofreereadout.podbean.com. You can listen to that from last week, which is episode 1426. But we didn't do, you know, any new pre-show shows. But anyway, the point is, I had to finish up comms up too, and did all the editing, and Friday morning I had it all complete and ready to shoot off to him after 3.5 days of editing, splicing, and doing all that. And I wiped out the entire thing. I had it 99% done, and I made a mistake. And I was doing some editing, and I clicked save and then exit out of it instead of save as. And you know those worst case scenarios that you hear about people doing, losing an entire project? I did it, and my heart sank. And so I called Cindy from the Summer of Survival, and because Friday was my deadline to get the movie, the whole production in, an hour long docudrama like Comms Up One. But I wiped the whole thing out. So I went right back to work at it, and I did it in a day and a half. But anyway, sleep, who needs sleep? Got that knocked out, and it's done, and it's shot off to him. So there are several things for the Amron Corps. I'm supposed to be producing a communique, a weekly communique, and that got pushed back to Friday, and then I wiped out the whole project. So I've got a lot of emails to get to, so I have not forgotten about you guys. I do see every email, but Friday I didn't even open up my email. I had my phone on and everything else was shut off, and I just had to put my head down and focus. And so this was a pretty amazing week, but we're back now. We're back in our groove. So what we're going to do is next week, we're going to do the part two, which is really part three, because Shahram Haidian was last week. That was really part two, but I'm going to produce the part two, the other part of the presentation that I did in the speech at God and Country that I didn't get to complete, because there's some really important things that I felt like I really needed to say. And also, we have some people that we're going to be interviewing about the American Redoubt, about the state of our country. We're going to be talking about that tonight. We're going to be covering several things. So I just, there's a couple things in the news that I want to cover. But anyway, I just want to welcome all of you guys out there outside the free zones, outside the wire, in occupied America that are tuned in and listening. Thank you guys so much for being out there. We are now, we had all these projects converging at once, and we didn't mean to. We didn't intend for that to happen. It's just the way that everything fell. So we've been a little overwhelmed, myself and the partisans of Radio Free Redoubt, and we are we're going to be back on track here. So AMRON core members expect to be getting a weekly communique in about the next 48 hours. There's some things that I wanted to discuss with you, and I'm going to shoot out an email too, reminding everybody of the Summer of Survival, so you can watch Comms Up 2 streaming live. Oh, and then afterward, they're going to have a live question and answer session. I'll be fielding questions from the listening audience. And if we run out of time, you can email those in and I'll be able to address those at another time that we're going to set up. Also, I hope you enjoyed the audio from the Northern Nevada Prepper Group, their communications net that airs right before Wall Builders in the pre-show schedule. And of course, you can go to the Northern Nevada Prepper net and listen to those. Afterward, after the show tonight, we'll be airing Delta 04's post net report from the Tappern net. She's doing an amazing job with those. And then, of course, tonight we will be airing Episode 4 of The Partisan Diaries from Codename Chloe. And it's her voice in this one that we're going to be airing tonight. That's titled The White Mouse. It's the story of Nancy Fioca. She was part of the underground smuggling network in World War II. Those are some amazing stories that she's pulled. And next week in episode 5, it's titled Faithful Am I. It's the story of Patrick O'Leary. And that one is read by Glenn Tate from 299 Days. Speaking of 299 Days, let's get into the news and commentary. Sponsored by Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding. And we got some great announcements coming up about the audiobooks. And we'll be interviewing Glenn just real briefly on that and get some updates on the audiobooks that are coming out. Okay, you guys have probably already heard insurgents in Iraq have seized nuclear materials that are used for scientific research at a university in the country's north. They're having a serious problem with ISIS there. The Iraq told the United Nations in a letter appealing for help to stave off the threat of their use by terrorists in Iraq or abroad. And what they did is they got their hands on about over 85 pounds of uranium that are kept at the university in Mosul. Well, now we have our southern border blown wide open. We already know there's plenty of documentation showing that Islamic extremists are crossing our southern border, and they're overwhelmed down there. So the biggest concern with that is a dirty bomb, and of course that's a scenario that we've been concerned about for a long time. And so just be aware of that. I'm not sure what you're supposed to do with that information, but it doesn't look good with these kind of people getting their hands on those kind of materials, and then a southern border that is left wide open. It's just not good. Here's some good news out of San Antonio. After 9 hours of deliberation, a jury found Adrian Perryman, 52 years old, not guilty on all four counts of aggravated assault on peace officer charges. He was accused of shooting and wounding a member of the San Antonio Police Department's Tactical Response Unit during a no-knock raid on his home in the pre-dawn hours of October 26th of 2010. So 4 years ago, coming up on. Finally got his day in court And the whole thing was over whether or not the police announced themselves. And it didn't seem very clear. He was saying that I didn't hear police search warrant or anything like that. They're claiming that he did. And when the jury heard both sides of the testimony, they decided, well, that's not guilty. You know, this is a pretty scary trend with these no-knock warrants. They're just kicking people's doors in and sometimes saying police, sometimes not. That's such a dangerous thing. I'm surprised that we don't see more people defending their homes. I'll tell you what, it just makes so much more sense to pull a guy over at a traffic stop and just hook him up there on the side of the road. But they want to kick people's doors in, shoot their dogs, and shove guns in people's faces. That's just a recipe for disaster. I mean, if I don't do anything presently that's illegal, well, you know, of course, in the future when it's illegal to own guns or it's illegal to have a Bible or it's illegal to go to church, well, I'm going to be a criminal. But right now I don't do anything illegal. But that doesn't matter because they can kick your door in on an anonymous tip. And an unauthorized entry in my home wouldn't be a very good thing for the people that are kicking my door in. I would just hope that they would knock on my door and say, excuse me, sir, but we have a warrant for your arrest. Well, let's get it sorted out because I haven't done anything wrong. But to kick my door in the middle of the night, that's a good way to get some bloodletting going on. An unauthorized entry in my home, and I know a lot of people feel this way, and I hope it never comes to that, but I don't know. These are just the times we're living in. It's not good. Not good at all. Let's see here. I want to, speaking of shooting, there is a tactical shooting course that's going on in Parma, Idaho. That's going to be happening on Saturday and Sunday, October 11th and 12th. And they have a staff of former Navy SEALs. And this is, the guy's name is Rich, and he is a former Navy SEAL. I don't have his last name right in front of me. Why do I not have his last name right in front of me? Darn it. Anyway, what I'm going to do is that's the Parma Rod and Gun Club in Parma, Idaho, and I'm going to post a link so you can go and check that out for yourself. They say this course is not for superheroes or beginning shooters. The course is for people who own firearms and have never trained with them dynamically. If you're ready to start learning how to operate your firearm effectively in real-life situations under stress, then this is the course for you. In this course, they'll be focusing on proper weapon manipulation for personal protection and home defense. It's not a competition-style training. And then, of course, they've got videos by Rich Graham. That's his name, Rich Graham. He's got some YouTube videos, firearm training videos as well. So I'll post a link so that you guys can check that out. But anyway, there's some things that I want to get to about the southern border situation. And I have some of my own thoughts and really how it ties into where we're all at right now in America and where we're headed and the things that we need to face as realities. So I'll let Fox 519 take you into the Eye on the Economy this week, the exclusive for Radio Free Redoubt. He does a great job with that, and so I'm going to let him take it away. Fox 519, it's all yours.
Right now, the leaders of the BRIC nations are flying to Brazil to a very, very important meeting. Do you know what they're going to decide? How to put the final nail in the dollar's coffin. Welcome back, everyone. After a two-week hiatus to celebrate the birth of freedom that our forefathers gave to us, I am back. This week in financial news kept flowing, with news that the BRIC nations are going to start lending by 2016, Portugal's banks are on the edge of default, and Obama got the slap down from Congress on trying to get $3.7 billion to help, quote, the illegals. It is great to be back with you, and I am Fox 519, bringing you the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt. Welcome back. Well, how did you celebrate your dwindling freedom this year? Did you watch the fireworks and think of the night that lives were lost during the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner, what that means to us? Or did you eat too much, blow stuff up, and yell, America? Well, I did the first, and I explained the true cost of freedom to my kids and what liberty and freedom means to me. But that isn't why you're listening to me. Now on to the financial news. This week, the BRIC nations will meet in Brazil at the 6th annual BRIC Summit. During the summit, many things will be discussed, and chief among those will be how to release the news that the BRICS will start to lend to underdeveloped nations by 2016 or earlier. The new bank would symbolize the growing influence of emerging economies in the global financial architecture long dominated by the United States and Europe, the International Monetary Fund, and the World Bank. This move by the BRICS will bolster their relationships with smaller developing nations who just can't grab a foothold in the world economy. But more important than that, this new, quote, BRIC bank will go to create and forge new political alliances that will soon be very, very important. This new BRIC bank will lend from a pool of $100 billion contributed by the total BRIC nations as a whole group. As I have said before, this BRIC alliance is targeted at one thing and one thing alone, the death of the superiority of the United States dollar. And you know what? It's working, because now even supposed allies are crying for the replacement of the dollar. Just this week, French Finance Minister Michel Sapin called for the rebalancing of currencies used for the global payments. His comments come just on the heels of the U.S. authorities fining French bank BPN Paribas. Sapin said that the BPN Paribas case should make us realize the necessity of using a variety of currencies. Can our leaders not see that their actions are causing great and terrible damage to us? My friends, the only thing that is going to solve this problem here for us, America, is one thing, the Great Financial Reset. In other world news tonight, Portugal has been causing some major waves in world markets as Banco Espirito Santo missed several key debt payments to, quote, a few of their clients. When the news broke on Thursday of this week, it rattled most major financial markets all across the globe, causing most major financial indices to fall. Upon hearing the news, Moody's downgraded Banco Espirito's stock and issued a statement concerning ESFG's creditworthiness. Moody's expressed that they were highly concerned by the lack of transparency around Espirito Santo Group's financial position and the extent of the intergroup linkages between, including ESFG's direct indirect exposure to ESI, the parent of Banco Espirito. So, why is this important to you as a listener? Well, it's because of the snowball effect. When you see smaller countries, developing ones, much like the BRICS will be lending to, begin to crumble, it is a sign that the major global economy is having some serious trouble. Too much debt is in circulation. Don't forget, even banks owe monies to larger entities. So, when smaller nations can't pay up, the financial mafia that is the global banking system will collapse the local economy and create a new system. If you think that this can't happen in America, well, you're dead wrong. It's really close to happening right now. We owe close to $1.5 trillion to China and mountains of debt to other nations. And we begin to default on our own debt payments, which will be soon. Watch out. Finally tonight in local readout news, marijuana can now be legally sold in the state of Washington, and it's causing some major, major revenue for the states just in the 3 days it's been selling. Legal weed began selling early this week in eastern Washington, and the early reports of tax revenue for the latter half of the week were $150,000 to the state for 3 days plus of revenue. That is huge. But let me make myself perfectly clear. I do not support recreational marijuana. Medical marijuana, yes, but recreational, no. Ah, but who knows? Maybe this will help the state reclaim some income. Nope. What was I thinking? We're so far in the hole. We'll never see daylight again. Oh, man. We're in real trouble, folks, aren't we? Finally tonight, I want to take a slightly different direction with my advice for you all. I want to talk about what is happening on the southern border. Yes, I can hear the collective sigh now. I promise I'm not going to beat a dead horse here. I get letters all the time from patriots all of America asking me my opinion on what is happening down at the border. Here is my take. I'm going to equate it to the Good Samaritan story. The Samaritan took care of the man, even when he was his enemy. He paid for his medical care, paid for his food, and paid for his hotel, but only for a short time. When the man was able to get on his own feet and make it on his own power, the free ride was gone. That's not the case in the south of our country. What is happening in the south is just tragic, and we should help those who need care and assistance. But we cannot carry them forever. We can't. We cannot afford it as a nation, and Congress just told the president so. Here's another analogy, and I have to give credit to where it came from. Glenn Tate of the 299 Days series, which, on a side note, you should go buy to support him. gave me this analogy. It was great, and I loved it, and so I owe it to Glenn. Here it is. If someone was out of gas and you were out in the middle of nowhere, you'd help them get some gas and help them travel on, right? Sure you would. It's what God would want us to do. But would you give me your credit card and have them pay for it? Would you pay for their gas for life? No, of course not. Our government has been too liberal with the social entitlements. We give free rides to our citizens, and now the push for these illegals, and I do continue to use the word illegal, and I will continue to until they choose to be citizens, will only turn the state of Texas to a blue state and flood our entitlement system to the point of collapse. I hope you're ready for that point. The point of collapse. Yes, I do believe we should help people, and that's what God calls us to do. But do not carry them. We need to teach these men to fish. We need to stop giving them the fish. Otherwise, all the fish will be eaten up, and our families will be the ones to starve. Well, thanks again for listening this week, and for Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout, this is Fox 519 signing off. God bless.
All right, segment two on Radio Free Readout. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, and they provide outstanding real estate services in the North Idaho Panhandle, the heart of the American Redoubt. You can learn more by going to SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com to help find the right property for you who are redoubting. And there are a lot of you. Man, I keep hearing from more and more people, we're moving, we're making our move, we're going to Montana, we're going to Wyoming, we're going to Idaho, or getting over to Eastern Washington from Western Washington. So it's happening. It is, it's happening. It's a deliberate demographic shifting of God-fearing patriots moving to the inland Pacific Northwest states. And it's a very good thing, and it's necessary. I'm going to talk about that more a little bit later. Of course, that's the whole premise of this this venue here, this Radio Free Readout. It's the platform for promoting the American Readout concept. But the American Redoubt is quite a ways away from the Mexican border. So it seems like it's a world away. In a way, it is, but it's affecting all of us. Illegal immigrants are swarming across our borders, and the federal government, whose constitutional duty is to protect our borders, has decided to inject oftentimes sick, diseased, illegal people deep into our country. They're taking them to military bases all around the country. There is an article that was written over at the IndependentSentinel.com, and I'll put the link on there on the highlights and resources posting, so you can go check that out for yourself. This article is titled "Chilling Facts About U.S.-Mexico Border Invasion Led by Drug Cartels." Little known facts that you may or may not have heard about. Drug cartels are bringing illegals over and handing them to Border Patrol agents who receive them on direct orders from the administration. Eric Holder did say it was a civil right for people to come here illegally. This article goes on. Now, I'm not a fan of Bill O'Reilly at all, but in the article, it states, Bill O'Reilly gave one of his best talking points memo last evening. He addressed the southern invasion and the president's complete lack of response to ISIS, but mostly he addressed his non-action policy toward the drug cartel-led invasion on our southern border. They put in a couple videos up there, too, that are pretty alarming, and they even describe them as such. People who want to follow the law of the land, who abide by immigration policy, like my grandfather, are now the counterculture. Barack Hussein Obama is a man of the far left, and he appears to have made a cause out of open borders. Well, that's, of course, that's because he's a globalist. He can't be swayed from it no matter how bad things get. His media, no longer mainstream, props up his failures. Senator Ted Cruz said that 95% of the illegal immigrant minors are coming for amnesty, which Mr. Obama is giving them illegally. Deportations of minors dropped 80% under Barack Obama. He recently claimed he wanted Congress to change the TERPA so he could deport the illegal minors entering the country. Do you believe that? Like last week when we heard the Border Patrol, the head guy of Homeland Security saying beginning next week they're going to start deporting them. Do you believe that? I don't believe anything these people say. But, of course, Obama went back on his word. He now says he will not deport the minors and is not asking for the law to be changed. See, there we go. In 2008, there were over 8,000 deportations. And that was the year before Obama took office. Over 8,000 people were deported, which is just a drop in the bucket compared to the hundreds of thousands you swarm across our border. But in 2013, over 1,600 people were deported. 1,600 versus over 8,000. That's the difference with this administration. According to the Los Angeles Times, this lack of border law enforcement is now an impetus to other minors seeking to come here illegally. Even though Obama supposedly is saying to stay home, don't come here. He's giving lip service. He's doing these little public service announcements saying, don't come here illegally. It's too dangerous. Like he cares. Breitbart reports that a leaked DHS demo dated last month states, quote, success at not being immediately repatriated drive OTM UCs. That's other than Mexican unaccompanied minors. Migration to the United States. Less than 0.1% are ever deported. 10% of 1%. 0.1% get deported. And it's a driving force for the current influx, which will continue to worsen as long as Obama has these policies. And he's not going to change these policies because he's a globalist. They don't see borders. They would love to just get rid of borders. Senator Ted Cruz told of the horrors that are taking place on the Mark Levin show just the other night. And he said, quote, as a directed consequence to that illegal amnesty, the number of unaccompanied children skyrocketed because of Obama. So by this year, the estimate is that there will be 90,000 unaccompanied children apprehended. That's up from 6,000 just 3 years ago. From 6,000 3 years ago to 90,000. They're estimating that next year, up to 145,000 unaccompanied youths. And of course, these aren't all unaccompanied youths, children. A lot of them are gangbangers and they're young children, they're young adults. What's really critical to understand is the human tragedy that's playing out before us, he says. Just a couple of weeks ago, I was down at Lackland Air Force Base, which is where some 1,200 of the kids are being housed. And that's what they're doing. That's Lackland Air Force Base is in Texas. They are flying these illegals to all these military bases. Fairchild Air Force Base, Joint Base Lewis-McChord, also known as JBLM, and all over the rest of the country. And these are little, this is him saying, these are little boys and little girls that are being handed over not to well-meaning social workers, but to hardened transnational global criminal cartels who are physically assaulting these kids, sexually assaulting these kids. It's horrific. And it's the direct consequence of the president's lawlessness. Some minors are being leased. Some have been sent by their illegal parents in our country who paid cartel coyotes to bring them. These are really the people we want. When agents see minors with gang tattoos, they're told to release them. Some are obviously not minors, but they don't have to prove their age. Mr. Obama, who for a week let people think he would seek changes in the 2008 law, which prevents the expedited deportation of children, has again changed course. Yesterday, the Associated Press reported Obama will ask for $2 billion in funding and now, of course, it went up from then, from the time of this writing. It was like, what, $3.5 billion to address the border crisis? But he will not seek an expedited process to return the children to their countries of origin. There it is. He asked for $3.7 billion, which comes to $80,000 per immigrant with nothing being done to close the border. That is the individual that the people in this country placed in office. It's just not Obama. It's the electorate. It's the people who tell me we're not sick as a country. Currently, children arriving from Mexico are treated under an expedited process in an attempt to discourage parents from sending them across the border. The message Obama is sending is more illegal minors should enter the U.S. illegally. The situation's worse with adults who are coming in fivefold. We have no idea who these people are. We hold them for a few days and then release them with an apparent with an appearance ticket. And figure how many are going to show. That 0.1%. They're going to show up for court. More than 500 mothers are being released a day, each day, from McAllen. Some of these mothers could be members of gangs. We'll never know. Last October, Shauna Moran, vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, claimed that Border Patrol management has begun the practice of ordering Border Patrol agents to stand down. I talked about this in my speech at God and Country. And to cease pursuing drug smugglers, human smugglers, and traffickers and illegal aliens. He warned that at that time, it could lead to illegal aliens from terrorist nations entering the country. Could lead to? They're already here. We already know it. It's documented. He says, it doesn't matter whether it's drugs, bodies, or how large the group is. Our agents are being ordered to stand down by Border Patrol management, said Moran. I have received reports from our agents in every single sector, from San Diego to the Rio Grande Valley in Texas, that they are receiving these orders. These orders come from the top. These people are ordered not to protect our borders. General John Kelly sees the invasion as an existential threat. It is an existential threat. It threatens our existence as a nation. And he says that it's as serious as Iran or North Korea. And I couldn't agree more. America's porous southern border and the recent surge in illegal immigration is more than just a humanitarian crisis, claimed the top U.S. general in charge of Central and South America. It's a threat to the United States' very existence. Oh, that's what I just said. Marine Corps General John Kelly is commander of the U.S. Southern Command, or SOUTHCOM, responsible for the Caribbean Sea and all the lands south of Mexico. Well, in this purge, I can imagine this Marine. You watch. Follow John Kelly. Set up a Google search or something like that. And track this. I guarantee you're going to see within the next 6 months, this guy's going to get fired. He's going to get removed from his position. Because he's calling out this administration. He's saying what they're doing is a threat to our existence. You watch. With this military purge, when they're taking out anybody who doesn't toe the line, anyone who's not a yes man, they're purging them. You're seeing a purge of our military. This guy's going to get some kind of, he's going to be accused of something. In regards to the drug trade, murder rates, and terrorist activity brewing in Central America, Kelly says, the waves of Latin Americans sweeping through Mexico and illegally into Texas presents a threat to the U.S. every bit as serious as Iran and North Korea. In comparison to our other global threats, the near collapse of societies in this hemisphere with the associated drug and illegal immigrant flow are frequently viewed to be of low importance. Kelly said in an interview with Defense One, many argue these threats are not existential and do not challenge our national security. I disagree, he says, and I'm with him. More than 300,000 anonymous people have entered our country illegally since April. Those who aren't gangbangers and jihadis are poor, uneducated, low-skilled workers with dependents. Vice President Biden said that we need many more. And President Obama said, they are our best and brightest. They are the future of America. Well, he's right about one thing. They are the future of America. Our country is being deliberately destroyed. More when we come back right after the break. This is John Jacob Schmidt at the Voice of the American Readout.
Being a patriot isn't easy. It takes work, and I see too many conservatives, even patriotic people, taking our remaining liberty for granted. Most are happy to just float along enjoying freedom, freedoms that were hard won and fought for by others at great sacrifice. But most conservative Americans do little or nothing to keep what's left. We often hear people say we need to take back America. But if we can't even hold the line and don't stop losing ground, how can we expect to ever take anything back? Thomas Paine said, those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. He didn't say undergoing the fatigue of supporting it was a great idea. And he didn't say maybe we should. He said we must. But maybe we've come to a point where even patriotic citizens don't want to do anything that might fatigue them. If that doesn't change soon, well, one day we'll be saying, remember freedom? Wasn't it nice? I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
The lifeblood of a community, a state, and a nation is its economy. All across America, the effects of a crippled global economy are being felt. But in any economic downturn, there are always isolated pockets where communities and regions thrive or fare better than others. Take that into consideration when you make financial choices, both big and small. Support locally owned businesses and industries whenever you can, especially those which are patriot or Christian owned. A stronger local economy means a stronger American redoubt.
Welcome back. Segment three, John Jacob Schmidt here, Radio Free Redoubt. Thanks for listening. This segment is sponsored by Katie Armor, CATI Armor.com. You can go to katiearmor.com where you can learn more about the top quality made in the USA. Armor plating. This is AR-500 level 3 body armor, frag coated. They got the 10x12 front and back plates. They got 6x6 side plates and carriers as well. They do a great job, Patriot owned, and just a great company, backs up their products. I have a set of KD Armor, and they are top quality. They're test plates. He sent me a test plate. Oh my gosh. The 30-06, 308, 223, armor piercing, AK-47 rounds. All of this just splattered it. It was beautiful. But yeah, good stuff. Go check them out and support them. There is another training that's coming up. And this is outside of the American Redoubt, but there's going to be a training coming up. There's two training dates that I really want to point you to. Both of them are in September. Now, a lot of you are familiar with Sparks 31. He's also a special operations communications guy, and he's got a great website with some great information that we reference and link over to often. And Sparks has some great articles, great coverage, good training. And he also does training seminars. And there is going to be one in Wisconsin and one in Wyoming in September. And the one in Wyoming is going to be the first weekend of September. Was that 3rd and 4th, 5th? But then there's another one also for those of you who are living in Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, if you are close to it. Minnesota, if you can make the trip, there will be a two-day seminar on September 13th and 14th. They're trying to fill up the seats, and if you want to get some top-level training, they're really getting into a lot more interoperability, kind of like AMRON. And so I just want to encourage you to go check that out. We'll put the link also. You can go to AMRON.com and scroll down to the bottom. You can just click on that banner there that'll take you through to Sparks 31. He's got a WordPress site, and I'll also put the link to that over on the highlights and resources posting for today's show. But check that out. Good prepper communications, but for the patriot, kind of along, well, a lot of the way a lot of us think. Thank you guys so very much for your support. There's a few different ways that you can do that. You can click on, support Radio Free Redoubt, that tab. We really, really, this is listener supported, and we really depend. If it's just, if you can pledge just $5 a month, $7, $10 a month to help keep Radio Free Redoubt going and growing, then we're just very, very grateful for you guys' support. Let's see here. Let's get into, okay, the border. I was talking to Glenn Tate this week. We were talking about the border situation. He says, I've really been struggling over this, because I'm a Christian first and then I'm a patriot second. And, there's nothing wrong with being a Christian patriot. There shouldn't be a line driven between the two. But you're looking at a situation here where our southern border is, you know, being invaded. You know, the first thing you think, well, you know, if your country's being invaded, you respond militarily. But they're doing this, you know, with a lot of women and children. And this is deliberate. These people are criminals. And those who are helping them are collaborators. And one day, we just pray that justice will be done to the people who deliberately destroy this country, and to the collaborators who put the destroyers into certain positions of power. But right now, that's out of our hands. All we can do is focus on what we can do. So what do you do as a Christian when you've got children that are pouring across your borders and you know that it's leading to the destruction of your country? Well, that's a tough one. Now, I know there's some hardcore people out there that, well, we just set up and we just start shooting. That'll stop them. That's not the Christian thing to do. So when you look, and this is what Glenn and I were talking about, you know the story of the Good Samaritan. He comes across this guy who was beat up and robbed and needed help. He picked the guy up. He dragged him to town, and he set him up in a little hotel. He gave the guy some money. Take care of this guy. Feed him. Here's his room and board until he gets well. And then he went on. He says, I'll be coming back through. And so, you know, anything that runs above and beyond what this doesn't cover, I'll square up with you then. But make sure he gets taken care of. And that was it. Now, he didn't say, I'm going to take this guy and adopt him. And I'm going to feed him and house him for the rest of his life. I'm going to help him get on his feet. Because he's had an unfortunate situation happen to him that wasn't his fault. He didn't ask for. Well, these kids that are crossing the border, let's say there's a lot more of them that aren't children. But let's just talk about the children. What do you do? Well, I think the Christian thing to do, because they're pawns, they were put up to this. They're being leveraged by bigger, more demonic powers. We're talking about some major, major stuff here, nationwide scale, that they're just being used for and abused. I think that obviously when you come across somebody that's hungry and tired, starving, you feed them. If they're exposed to the elements, you shelter them. But see, there's also billions of dollars that have been spent building these holding facilities in the South. Well, actually all over the country. KBR, Keller Brown and Root, is one of the main subsidiaries under Halliburton who won the contracts, or were granted the contracts, to build these massive facilities that are designed to hold thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. Now, we're concerned about this, right? Because this is, it's like FEMA camps, and they're saying, no, these camps, when asked, it's a couple kind of exposés done on these. When asked, the official response is these are built to house people in case we experience a massive flood invasion of immigrants from Central and South America. Isn't that interesting? Have we forgotten about that? Because when all this FEMA camp buzz was in the air, everybody said, what's all these about? What are all these camps? They're planning on hauling us off. And then the government says, no, they're for illegals, waves and waves of illegal aliens. And of course, everybody's going, yeah, right. Okay. So now we are experiencing waves of illegal immigrants. Why do we have to fly them to Lewis McChord, outside of Tacoma, Washington, south of Seattle? Why do we have to fly them to San Antonio? Why do we have to fly them to Fairchild Air Force Base or any of the other multiple military installations deep within our country when we've got all these camps set up to host thousands and thousands of people? Why? This is what's on my mind. Because we have the facilities to put them in there and then figure out what to do with them, but you can hold them there indefinitely. They even have playgrounds built into these things. They're designed to hold whole families. They're also designed with children in mind. So the Christian thing to do is shelter them and feed them and protect them. We're stuck with this. But see, we're not doing that. We won't do that. And why won't we do that? Because we're dealing with evil people that are bent on destroying our country. So it's not even a matter of do you feed them or not. I mean, that's a no-brainer. But see, they're being used as part of a bigger scheme. This is a plot. This is a plot by the globalists to add more nails to the coffin of America. Governor Rick Perry sounds like, well, he's saying all the right things. But see, we had a discussion this morning, Mrs. Schmidt and I, reading the paper, reading the news, having a cup of coffee and talking about these things. I'll get to that in just a minute. Matter of fact, I'm going to save that for the last segment. But Governor Rick Perry, he was interviewed on ABC by an obnoxious, belligerent, shrill-voiced woman on ABC. Let's start with track one.
Recently made some pretty serious allegations against the federal government. Let's listen to what you said to Fox News.
The federal government is just absolutely failing. Well, you either have an incredibly inept administration or they're in on this somehow or another. I mean, I hate to be conspiratorial, but I mean, how do you move that many people from Central America across Mexico and then into the United States without there being a fairly coordinated effort?
Great question. That's the question I asked. I mean, I hate to be conspiratorial too, but this looks deliberate. And let them prove otherwise. They can't.
Governor, do you really believe there's some sort of conspiracy to get people into the United States by the federal government, by the Obama administration?
When I have... and absolutely incorrect.
But Governor, this is about a law. This isn't necessarily about Border Patrol. This is about a law. You heard in Jim Avila's piece, they have to let these people into the country when they're from non-contiguous nations, when they're from Central America or South America. Should that law be changed?
The rule of law is that the Constitution requires the United States to secure the border. And we're not doing that. We haven't done it for years. And we are paying a huge price. When you have catch and release policies that send a message to people in Central
America. But Governor, please go back to the law, the 2008 law that was signed into law by George Bush.
And you should have seen the look on her face when she says George Bush with this smug look on her face. George Bush, you know, the ultra right wing conservative extremist right winger. He even signed this law. It totally goes against the Constitution, the law of the land, which says that the government will secure the borders.
Isn't this a backlog in the courts? Doesn't that have to be addressed first?
What has to be addressed is the security of the border.
So what they're trying to do is make this an argument about this law, this immigration law, and asking, you know, it's if this needs to be addressed. And he's saying, no, what needs to be addressed is our borders. They're left completely wide open.
In 2010, I asked for the president to put 1,000 National Guard troops in place along the border to secure the border so that we could train up 3,000 Border Patrol agents to augment and to permanently secure that border.
You heard the commissioner of the Customs and Border Patrol say he is confident they have enough resources on the border.
He's confident they have enough resources. Let's go back. Let me play this clip one right here, this for you.
In 2010, I asked for the president to put 1,000 National Guard troops in place along the border to secure the border.
Okay, he's asking the president to put National Guard troops on the border. Hold on to that thought for a minute, because I want to address that. I'm going to come back to that in just a second.
Turn to Texas Governor Rick Perry, who also testified at that special hearing this week. You heard what the bishop said. He talks about compassion. You're a religious man. What do you do about this?
Oh, they're pulling the religious card on him now. You want all these immigrants to go away? Well, you're a religious man. So come on, Christian. Don't you have a heart? I love how the godless use the religious card to try to entrap religious people on this open border policy. I wonder what she would do. What's her solution?
Well, for over 2 years, we've drawn the attention of this issue to this administration. As a matter of fact, in May of 2012, we sent a letter, laid out what was happening with the unaccompanied minors that were showing up at the border. And we told them, said, if you do not address this, here is what's going to happen. And we're seeing that become reality today. This is a failure of diplomacy. It is a failure of leadership from the administration in Washington, D.C. And it was messages have been sent now for multiple years. The reason there's been this lack of effort, this lack of focus, this lack of resources.
He's telling people not to come. He's telling them in ads not to come into the United States. Not.
She's talking about Obama here. Obama's doing these ads telling people not to come to the U.S. Listen to what he has to say about that.
To leave their homes.
About 5 years too late would be my response to that. The president has sent powerful messages time after time,
Governor,
by his policies, by nuances, that it is okay to come to the United States and you can come across and you'll be accepted in open arms. When I have written a letter that is dated May of 2012, and I have yet to have a response from this administration, I will tell you they either are inept or don't care. And that is my position.
Okay, check this out. Here's a governor saying the United States federal government is failing in its duties. Secondly, he's asked.
In 2010, I asked for the president to put 1,000 National Guard troops in place along the border to secure the border.
Okay, listen to this. I was talking to my father this week, and he says, so what do you think of Governor Rick Perry? Do you think he'd make a good president? And I said, no. Well, why not? I said, because he failed. Failed at what? He's like calling Obama out. He invited Obama to come down to the border to these immigration camps, and Obama refused. He called Obama out. Okay, now he is the governor of the Federal Republic of Texas. Why would he be asking the president to ask to send National Guard troops to the border? The government, the federal government, has a duty, a constitutional responsibility to protect our borders. And when they fail in that, governor, president of the Federal Republic of Texas, that's not Obama's National Guard. It's your National Guard. It is your army. So he, when I said he failed because he, I'll tell you what, it'd be like me being in my house when somebody comes into my house and they begin assaulting my wife. And I call up the sheriff and I go, hey, sheriff, you need to come and take a look at this. Come here and see for yourself. You need to do something about this. You need to send some of your deputies over here to deal with this. I'm inviting you to come and take a look at this. Something you need to do something about. When the sheriff refuses to respond and somebody's coming into my home, it's my duty. It's no one else's responsibility. It's my duty to protect my home. And governor, it's your duty to protect your borders of your state when the federal government fails to do so. They've relinquished their responsibilities, or they've failed. So why are you asking Obama for permission to deploy your troops, your National Guard, to the border? You're putting this on someone else. Why aren't you doing anything about it? These governors, they give lip service and they cry and they whine and they snivel. Here's the solution right here. The governor immediately deploys his troops to the border. They take these illegals, as they apprehend them, and they have trucks, they have transports. You transport them to all these facilities that have been built with our taxpayer dollars, billions of dollars, to build these facilities to contractors designed to hold thousands and thousands of people. They're claiming this is for holding illegals. The state takes that over, and you begin using your National Guard to transport these people to these facilities where they can be fed, they can be sheltered until you can get them out of the country, until you coordinate with the countries, the host nations, and you get them returned to their families. Now, the second thing is the United States. In the United States, there are several states who pay, all of them pay money to the federal government. But a lot of them have a deficit. Because of the population base in the American Redoubt, most of the American Redoubt states, this is the an unfortunate thing, is the Redoubt states take more money in from the federal government than we send to the federal government. That's not the case with Texas. The Federal Republic of Texas sends more money to the federal government than it gets from the federal government. And what you do is you cut off their funding. When they stop, when they refuse to do what is their duty and their responsibility, you stop funding them. You stop the flow immediately. You've got oil. Well, you've got oil, you've got other natural resources there, and you stop that money from going to the federal government until they do something about that to relieve your National Guard troops on the border. If the federal government won't step up, it's your job, Governor. And this is the problem that we have with leadership, even supposed conservative leadership. They won't take action. And it's your duty, and you have the responsibility, and you have the resources, and you have the authority, and you won't do it. Anyway, I'll talk a little bit about some of the things that Mrs. Schmidt and I discussed this morning that kind of spun off from this conversation. So stay right there, and we'll get into segment four, and we'll close everything up here in just a bit. Stand by.
Hi, I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, North Idaho. For years, we've specialized in locating and securing the best survivalist retreats in the most sustainable area America has to offer. The clean and abundant fresh water found in North Idaho's springs, creeks, lakes, and rivers are the primary reason folks come here, as nothing is more important than water. Excellent seasons, rich soils, and clean Rocky Mountain air make for an ideal growing environment with no threat of tornadoes, hurricanes, earthquakes, or forest fires. The best part of North Idaho is her people, friendly conservatives with beliefs deeply rooted in the Constitution and a sense of community. I want to invite you and your family to join us here, to secure a peaceful future in a place that will sidestep much of the chaos that we all know is coming. Call me today at 208-667-1776 or visit me online at revrealty.us. That's www.revrealty.us. revrealty.us. And may God bless you.
In the event of a disaster, the likelihood of communications going down, such as cell phone services, is very high. To communicate using your CB radio, MERS radio, FRS, or GMRS personal two-way radio, simply tune to Channel 3. Click on the CH3 Project button on the Radio Free Redoubt blog to learn more.
Thanks for hanging out with us, everyone. It is segment four, the last segment for this week's show, and this is sponsored by AMP3, Austere Medical and Practical Preparedness Project. They sell and distribute and build medical and specialty gear for the prepared citizen. Go check them out at AMP3. When you guys email us, thank you so much for your encouraging letters and offers of suggestions and input and feedback and all that. When you guys correspond with us, you can do that at johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. If you're listening on a CD or an iPod or something, audio device somebody gave you to listen to a show, visit us at radiofreeredoubt.com. And remember, whenever you correspond with us, include your call sign, always your code name, your AMRON code name, or your ARN code name. Really important. So we can know who we're dealing with and keep everything straight. Okay. I want to remind you also, T-Rex 2014 is coming up. That is a Teotihuacan readiness exercise for you to implement your Teotihuacan plan, your disaster preparedness plan with you, your family, your group, your retreat group, whatever it is. We have the PDF. It's uploaded on the website. Click on T-Rex 2014 and get all the information there that you need. And we are going to be holding some meetings here in the next couple of weeks to be working out some more details on that scenario. But that'll get you started there. We've got some great folks that are putting in some great feedback. Well, I was asked for you guys, you know, what are you planning on doing for T-Rex 2014? Codename Dogman, who's actually featured in Comms Up 2, and he was in Comms Up 1, he is going to have... codename Mama Dogman, drop him off away from their home. He's going to be using his communications equipment and his go bag, his bug out bag, simulating that he's away from home when this collapse or disaster happens. And he's going to actually, in the very front end of it, the first part of it, make his way home, including a RON, a remain overnight, overnight position. And then make his way home and then finish out the rest of the exercise over the weekend after that. So some of you might want to consider that as an idea for T-Rex 2014. Love to hear what some of you guys are planning on doing with your groups. Okay, now, this situation with the border spun off into a pretty lively discussion this morning. Before I go any further, we need some help. I know that there are several of you out there who have offered, hey, if you ever need this or that, you know, I'm a IT guy or I'm whatever. We need someone who knows Access, Microsoft Access, to build a database, just the framework for it. We've got somebody that will maintain it as, you know, just basically doing data entry. But if you know Microsoft Access and you can develop the framework for a database for us for doing our net reports. So there won't be anything that'll violate OPSEC or PERSEC, personal security, personal information. But what we want to do is build a reporting network database for the AMRON nets. So we know how many people are checking in to each, you know, different nets on what bands and what frequencies. So we can start producing reports because we ask people to email those reports in, you know, how many stations did you have check in your net last week and so on. But it's just raw data sitting there. And I was talking to codename Polly01 and she was saying, please ask for help for somebody who does Access, which I don't even know what that is, but apparently it's kind of like Excel on steroids. And so anyway, I'm just putting that out there. If any of you guys do Access, please let us know. And we'll just go from there. I'll put you in touch with Polly01. How's that sound? Okay. Back to this conversation with Mrs. Schmidt this morning. She was asking what I thought of this border situation. And I told her, I said, I think that this is one of many things that's leading to the last days of the American empire. I think you're seeing the last of America. And, she got pretty upset over that. And she's like, well, what do you mean that, then what's the point? Then I just feel like just giving up. I mean, just what's the point? Why even care anymore? I just want to check out. I mean, there's just like, we can't do anything about it. It just keeps coming. They don't care. Where's the message of hope? There's supposed to be a message of hope. Okay. So I said, okay, let me help put this into perspective. The people on the Titanic, when it was sinking, had a sense of despair. Now, nobody wants the Titanic to sink. Nobody wants the ship to sink. But it doesn't matter what you want when you're facing with the reality of it, that it's sinking. Okay, so where's the hope in that? The Titanic's sinking. Great. Well, the hope were the lifeboats. The lifeboats that people began preparing. Now, nobody wants the Titanic to sink. And of course, in that case, it was ineptitude. The captain made a bad decision. He's running the ship too fast at night. They hit an iceberg. Okay. Huge mistake. But see, the problem with this ship, the American ship, the United States ship, is that the captain of this ship has got trolls running around with hole saws, with drills, electric drills with hole saws, boring 4-inch holes all over in the hull of this ship. This is deliberate. This isn't ineptitude. This is actually deliberate. So all these collaborators, these trolls that are running around with hole saws, drilling 4-inch holes all over in the ship, is contributing to it sinking and even faster. So why do we keep bailing then? Why don't we just check out? Why, when the water's rushing in, when all these things that are being done to destroy America are being done, why do we even bother fighting the trolls anymore? Well, there's three reasons. And I mentioned this in the speech, but the first one I didn't mention, and I meant to, and didn't realize I hadn't mentioned it until afterward when I re-listened to it. The number one reason why we keep up the fight, why we keep bailing, even though the water's rushing in, is because it's the right thing to do. We have to keep fighting the good fight and fighting globalism, fighting the anti-American agenda, because it's the right thing to do, because we're patriots. Now, do I think that all this bailing water is going to save the Titanic from sinking? No matter how much you bailed, there was more water coming in than what you could possibly bail. So you do it because that's what you should be doing, because it's the right thing to do. But secondly, we do it because it buys ourselves time. We do have victories for every two of theirs. They hate Americanism, and the fight's on, and they're well-funded, and they're organized. And the last generation went to sleep and allowed this to happen, even though people warned them. So the trolls, they are boring holes in the hull of this ship. So we bail and we keep running off the trolls to buy ourselves time. Here's the other thing too, and this is really super important. We are going to need leadership, patriot leadership. So during this time, while we're buying ourselves time, it allows us to identify the leadership who are proving themselves in the fight right now. And also, because those are the people we need to stand behind, to get behind, to back them up. And also, this period of time lets the enemy continue to identify themselves. We know who are in the fight and who are not. It lets them show their true colors. So we shouldn't put blinders on. We shouldn't check out. We should be alert right now. We should be watchful. We should be aware, and we should be keeping score. We keep up the fight because we're patriots. But we also, if we're realistic about it, and you know history, you know that every other nation that went into the history books, every other empire that's falling, they could not believe it as it was happening to them. But see, we have enough cases in history to look back on and see that even though they couldn't believe it, it happened anyway, that we can project realistically what the future of America is. So we prepare for Plan B, and this is the message of hope. Plan B are the lifeboats. Now, the lifeboats are not an appealing alternative to the luxury ship. But when the luxury ship is sinking, if you just sit there and bemoan the Titanic's sinking and never prepare the lifeboats, you're going down with the ship. So the American Redoubt, the Appalachian Redoubt, the Southern Redoubt, the Adirondack Redoubt, these are lifeboats where God-fearing patriots, people like you, people who see what's going on, people who don't want to go down with the ship, they don't want to see the ship going down, but they know that if they don't get in a lifeboat with like-minded people who are willing to throw the trolls out and throw the trolls overboard. Those are the kind of people that you want to be gathering with. Like-minded people. So, that's what the American Redoubt is about. It is a fallback position. It's a safe haven. It's a refuge. The Redoubt concept is a lifeboat concept. And as you all out there become aware of this, you're relocating, strategically relocating. And some of you are like, oh, I'm not going to move. I'm where I'm at. And this is, but that's okay. But there might come a time when you might have to get in the lifeboat, no matter how bad you don't want to, just to survive. But it's really hard to grasp. I understand that. It's hard to grasp the magnitude of something like this. I mean, how much danger we're truly in, what's coming to our country. And, you know, I'm not trying to do a message of doom and gloom. I'm trying to do a message of hope to say, hey, look over here. There's a lifeboat. Get in. Because if enough of us get in, we can overpower the trolls and throw them overboard so that we can survive in a lifeboat. Even though we'd really rather go back to our nice comfy cabin on the luxury ship and go back to how it was and how great it was, and we can party and we can eat and drink and be merry. But there comes a time when so much water is coming on board that you've got to make a decision. You got to face the reality. So stay in the fight. The Texas Redoubt, there's a couple that were actually in the Comms Up 2 video. They're redoubted from Texas. The Texas Redoubt. They said Texas is falling. It's being overrun. It's not the conservative safe haven that it used to be. It still is in small pockets within the state, but they're getting swallowed up. They're saying there's nowhere left to go. This is what all the immigrants who come, the legal immigrants who come to America, who plead with us not to let America fall because there's no place else to go. Well, it's falling, and they're sitting there going, what are you people thinking? And it's falling. But there is still beacons of light. And those are those ultra-conservative, American patriot, God-fearing people that are gathering together. And that's what this is all about. That's the message of hope. Make sense? Okay, good. All right, now speaking of staying in the fight, there's some elections coming up in August. August 5th are the primary elections. There is a big battle between the left-wing Republicans who are trying to overthrow the right-wing conservative patriot Republicans. August 5th is Washington's. Get informed. We've got information there. We've got voter guides on Radio Free Redoubt for you to learn more. August 5th is Washington State, and August 19th is Wyoming's primary. So get in the fight, patriots. You're needed. Okay? That's pretty much it. I'm going to wrap everything up for tonight. I've got tons more stuff to do. And plus, I've got, I don't know how many emails to go through. Hundreds. So please be patient. And I hope they don't, any of you slip through the cracks. If you have specific questions or anything like that, please re-email me if you don't hear from me in the next few days. We do have a lot of stuff going on with the assemblies and the committees of correspondence and things like that. So, if you do get buried further and further down on the email, please re-email me and just wave your hands in front of me saying, hey, remember me a few days ago? And I'm like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. And then I'll put a little red flag to it and I'll make sure that I try to get right to it. So anyway, guys, God bless all of you. Thank you so much for being out there. Thanks for your prayers and your support and your financial support. And, it's an honor to be in the fight with so many of you patriots that are out there. You're not alone. And it really helps me to know that I'm not alone. I know that there's a lot of us out here. And this is what it's about, right? Got to watch each other's backs. Okay, John Jacob Schmidt at RadioFreeRedoubt.com. Looking forward to hearing from you. You have a blessed week. And until we meet again, good night.